Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is good. We have any visiting ministers here tonight, other than those that have already spoken? We have any other visiting ministers? Hallelujah. The Lord is wonderful. He's great. He's mighty and He's merciful. And we've certainly enjoyed the different testimonies that was here on the platform tonight. But I might emphasize and I might say that this is the first time in this revival that we've had anyone on this platform to testify except for Brother Davis and Brother Rutledge and I. This is the first time, and we don't intend to continue doing that during the revival. This is the first time, and we've had other ministers here that we haven't had on the platform, and we're not showing partiality. I'm sure that the Lord probably spoke to Brother Rutledge's heart and had him to do that. But I don't want anyone to think we've been showing partiality, because we have not had anyone on this platform, and we don't intend on having anyone else. But what we did have on here, we thoroughly enjoyed. Did you enjoy that? Hallelujah. That was real good. That was real good. Hallelujah. But we try to keep from offending people. Some go back and say, well, they didn't use me, and we certainly don't want to offend anybody. We've got some people here. How many people, this is your first time for being underneath the tent? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want those that's been here for the first time to just stand up and say, praise the Lord. Say a short word for the Lord. This is the first time you've been here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we've got two young ladies from Newark, Ohio, Sister Irene Wilson and Sister Charlene Wilson, who both gave $100 on the tent. Give them a big hand. We want them to stand and testify. Let them fight over who stands up first. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another big hand tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. You know, I see something here tonight that I don't like. I said, I see something here tonight that I don't like. I see some chairs folded up in the back of the tent, and I don't like that. Now, last week, we didn't have any chairs folded up back there. We had this aisle filled. We had a rows on the side. We had it packed out in the back, and we had around 240 people under this tent, and somebody estimated between 250 and 300 in the church. This place was packed, and I like to see this place more packed than what it is tonight. Now, we've got a good crowd here tonight, but we don't have the crowds that we've been having. Now, we announced our crowds for our revival for 2 weeks, and the crowds came out, and at the last moment, we decided to go on. So a lot of people probably don't know this revival is continuing, that this revival is going on. And you know whose responsibility it is to tell them? It's not mine. It's not Brother Davis's. It's your responsibility. Hallelujah. Now, this is not a poor crowd tonight, but it's not the best crowd we've had. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This is really a very small crowd compared to what we've had, and we're having a revival in this thing. We want to continue, Billy, and I believe we can go beyond 240 into this tent. Hallelujah. Someone said, well, it was kind of crowded and no one had any place to stand and it was a little bit uncomfortable. Bless God, I love a service where you got so many people, it's uncomfortable. Hallelujah, because we want to reach souls. We want to reach them for God. How many is going to try to bring someone with them tomorrow night? Hallelujah. I love to scold people. Isn't it fun? Don't you wish you had the microphone and was able to do that? I'm not scolding you, but I'm just commending you. We want to have as many people out as we can. The Lord is wonderful and the Lord is great. And tonight I'm going to read from the book of 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter. In the third verse. Then I shall proceed to read from Matthew, the 12th chapter, in the third verse. But before I go into the reading of the word, I'm going to ask Brother Rutledge if he would bless this message tonight. Brother Rutledge.
Dear God, we thank you for the messenger you have sent. We
Thank you, God, for the messages we're receiving. Yes. We ask you, Lord, to move in this service and help us to see the things that only God can do accomplish. Lord, bless the hearts and lives of everybody that is gathered in your name. And help us, Lord, to reach out with faith and receive from you this very night. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 Samuel, the 21st chapter, in the 3rd verse. And tonight I want to talk to you about the manners of a hungry man. The manners of a hungry man. 1 Samuel 21, verse number 3. Now therefore, what is under thine hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women, and David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew. And there we shall read from the 12th chapter, beginning with verse number 3. But he answered and said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful. Everyone say, not lawful. Which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. You may be seated tonight. Previously, I related to you of King David and how before he came king, how he slew the giant, how he killed Goliath and brought him down, and how the people began to sing and began to chant that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And we recall how Saul became jealous and in his jealousy, how he began to chase after David, how he chased him through the ravines, how he chased him through the wilderness. And we recall of how one day after he had made his pact or his vow with Jonathan, that David came before the door of the tabernacle. Now, in that day, a tabernacle was not a tabernacle as we think of a stationary building. It was a mobile unit. It was a tabernacle that could be moved from place to place. And, of course, we realize that the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a tabernacle much like the one that we are under tonight. It was a tent. And we find in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy that the tent in the tabernacle was of these colors: red, white, blue, and purple. The red standing or was a foreknowledge or prophecy of the blood of Christ, the white for holiness, and the red, and we can see the purple seams and the blue that stands for royalty. This was the same color of the tent that was in the Bible. You can study up and verify these words. And in the Bible we find that the tabernacle was not a stationary tabernacle. It was not a stationary building, but it was a building that was mobile, a building that could be moved from place to place. And people, God has not changed His plan, and neither has He changed His tabernacle. Because God's tabernacle is still not a stationary tabernacle, but it is a tabernacle that is mobile, one that moves from place to place. And I'm not talking about a building built with bricks, and I'm not talking about a tent made with canvas or vinyl, but I'm talking about the people of the living God. I'm talking about the church and the sons of God. For wherever the children of God is, that's where the tabernacle is. God came before the door of the tabernacle, and He looked at the priest Ahimelech, and He said, Ahimelech, give me the bread that is in thine hand. And Ahimelech said, I have no bread in thine hand except the shew bread, the hallowed bread, which is not lawful for you to eat. You see, according to tradition, no man could eat that bread. According to man-made rules, no man could eat that loaf. According to man-made teachings, no man could partake of that bread. But friend, David looked at the man and he said, "Give me the bread." The priest gave him the bread and David ate and was full. Now, according to tradition, David couldn't taste that loaf. According to tradition, he couldn't partake of that loaf. But there was hunger in David. And hunger said, "Give me the bread and eat." There is tradition in the world today that says you Christians can't shout like you've been shouting underneath this tent. It says you can't praise God like you've been praising God. There's a tradition that says you can't clap your hands and you've got to sit there still. But there's a spiritual hunger that says, "I want to shout. I want to dance. I want to let the power of God begin to move in our midst. Begin to move in the church." Too many times we stand on tradition, we stand on the teachings of men, but we need to obey the power of the Holy Ghost and fire and let God move in 1986. One day Jesus and his disciples were walking along together and they looked off in a cornfield and here were some men that were eating corn. And their stomachs began to grumble and complain because they were hungry. And they began to go in the cornfield. And they began to pluck the ears of corn and they began to eat. Now listen, there's something funny about a man that would eat a raw ear of corn. How many has ever eaten a raw ear of corn? I have too. But I did it because I was hungry. You know, you'd be out maybe working somewhere. Maybe coming home from the grocery store. But an ordinary person, you just ordinarily don't eat raw corn. I mean, I like to take my corn and take a tablespoon of Blue Bonnet and just bathe it in Blue Bonnet, grind some fresh ground pepper, and sink my choppers into that ear of corn. But these men were out there eating it raw. They were hungry. And over in the corner was a Pharisee. "What are you doing eating corn in the cornfield? Why, that's not lawful. We agreed in our district meeting and the district board all agreed we would put it in our constitution that it was not lawful to eat corn on the Sabbath. You can't eat it. It's not lawful. It's not the thing to do." Jesus and his disciples didn't pay a bit of attention to the Pharisees. They continued eating corn. Now, tradition said they couldn't eat corn on the Sabbath. Man-made rules said they could not eat of that ear. Man-made rules said they couldn't even go in the cornfield on the Sabbath. But listen, friend, spiritual hunger said, "Get in the cornfield and eat." Now, there's man-made tradition that says, "Now, ladies, you've got to come to church with your hair piled on top of your head as high as you can get it. Fill it with Kleenex boxes and Stroh's cans and Kellogg's cornflake boxes and as high as you can get it, and not one little hair can get out of place. And you men, you've got to come to church with your tie in a double Windsor, and it's got to be perfect. And if the style changes, then you got to get those little skinny ones that you can't hold down without a tie tack. And some of our church and says, tradition says you can't even wear a tie tack. And you've got to come to church and you've got to sit there so prim and so proper. And you can't lift your hands. You can't say hallelujah. But you've got to be still and you've got to be in decent. You've got to be in order. And this is how tradition says to do it. But friend, hunger says, ladies, get in that service and shout your hand down. Men, loosen your tie and let your shoes begin to dance. And let the power of God begin to move. Listen, we've allowed man to take a monopoly on this power. And we need to stand up with our heads and say, "I will not allow man to hold me back. I will not allow tradition to stop it. But I'm going to dance in the power of the Holy Ghost and fire and let God have his way. I'll stand in the face of tradition. I'll stand in the man of formality. I'll stand in the way of anything that says God must be put in a can and you can't let him loose. But listen, there's freedom and power and liberty in the Holy Ghost. If you belong in a church that's dead and cold and dry..." I belonged to a church one time that was so cold and dead, I said amen, everyone went hallelujah. Who said that? And I got to thinking, maybe I was out of order, maybe I wasn't quite in place. And one day I was preaching in that church and I was being real quiet, being real calm, and I felt the anointing come on me. And I thought, "Well, Lord, I don't want to get out of order." He said, "Son, remember all of those times You thought you were out of order? Well, son, you were the one that was in order, and the rest of them was out of order. Any time they fail to worship God, my friend, they're out of order. But if you're worshiping God, and you're praising God, and you're dancing and lifting your hands and talking in other tongues, my friend, you're not out of order. You're in order. I said you're in order. I said you're in order. Pentecost. He didn't say those that were on the outside were confounded. He didn't say those that were shouting and dancing on the inside were confounded. But it said those on the outside were confounded. If you're confused and out of order, that means you're on the outside. And you need to get on the inside where the power is. Hallelujah. I believe that the power of God, we need a spiritual hunger in our lives. We need a spiritual hunger that says, God, God, I need more of you than I've ever needed in my life. I'm tired of cold religion. I'm tired of dead, dry denominationalism. God's wanting a people. Did you ever feel like you got in a service and God began to move? And you felt like standing up and clapping your hands? And you thought, well, I wonder what everyone will think of me. I've got news for you. It don't matter what they think of you. And there's someone that thinks you've got to be quiet and you've got to be dead. And I'm, you know, I'm very honest about it. And I will approach that person very intelligently and say this to them. Friend, I gave up the world to receive something greater than the world. I danced in the world, I'm going to dance in the church. I had fun in the world, I'm going to have fun in the church. I had fire in the world, I'm going to have fire in the church. Why? Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the things of God. David's wife, Michal was looking through the window, and she looked down and there was David. Now, he wasn't tiptoeing through the tulips. He wasn't doing the monkey walk. But the Bible said that he danced with all his might. Oh, I could see David dancing and shouting and praising God. You know what that was, dancing before the ark? That was a hungry man. Somebody that wanted something from God. Somebody that reached in the depths of God. And when you get hungry, you're not going to worry about what anybody thinks. You're not going to worry about what anybody says. But you're going to reach in and you're going to be hungry. You thank God. And the Bible says that Michal looked out the window and Michal despised him in her heart. You start to dance. You start worshiping God. Wonder what's wrong with him. Boy, 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 I wouldn't do that for nothing. I remember when I first got saved, there used to be a woman in our church. And she danced like every joint was out of place. I called her the floppy woman. I mean, she was violent. Every joint was loose. And I'd step back to the church and I'd laugh at her. I said, man, if I ever get saved, I'm not going to act like that woman. God got a hold of my heart one night. I ran up to the altar. I shouted and jumped and danced 5 times worse than what that woman did. And when I got through, I knew what she was shouting about. I knew why she didn't care what anyone thought or what anyone said, because there was a hunger, a hunger, a hunger for the power of God. Oh, let's lift up our hands and reach out for him. Oh, God, we're hungry for your power. We're hungry for your spirit. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, let's just lift our hands and worship Him with all of our hearts. Hallelujah! You take a man that's not very hungry, and he'll sit down at the table, And the only thing he'll worry about is his etiquette. Now, let me see. Here's my 7-course meal. And I'll take my napkin, and I'm going to tuck my napkin in just right. And let me see, I pick up the soup spoon before I pick up the dinner spoon. And always pick up your salad fork before you pick up your dinner fork. And before you take a drink of water, you take your napkin and you dab your mouth. You do not rub it. You do not wipe it. You dab it. Then you pick up the gloss and you drink. And you don't get any smudges on it because you just dabbed your mouth. See, step number 2 takes care of step number 3. And by the time, some people need a computer to learn how to sit down and eat supper. And you sit down and you begin to eat and you say, well, a man that's got an appetite, that's not hungry, that's worried about his etiquette, he'll begin to pick at this and he'll pick at that and shove this off to the side. He'll pick around at this and make sure that his manners are just proper. But you take a man that hasn't eaten in 3 or 4 weeks. You take a man that's hungry, and when he sits down, he may not even wear a napkin. He ain't worried about the fork, and he ain't worried about the spoon. He might even use his hands, dripping down his elbows and down his chin, because that man is hungry. I said he's hungry. You take someone that's not hungry for God, and they'll sit down and they'll say, now this is how you do it, and this is how it's done. And they'll pick at the sermon, they'll pick at the pastor, they'll pick at the song service. But you take a man that's hungry, he's not worried about etiquette, he'll not pick at the service, but he'll go in with both hands and he'll eat until he's filled. He'll eat until he's full. Why? Because that's the manners of a hungry man. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the things of God. I'm hungry for the things of the Word. I'm hungry for the things of the Spirit. It used to be God's people were so hungry that when they came to church, they came to the altar. And they would fall down and they would pray. And they would cry out to God. And sinners would come in that have never been to church before. They'd hear those saints praying and crying out to God. And they would run and actually stall them, get the Holy Ghost before the service ever started. But we've modernized today. Stuffed all of our prayer wars back in the prayer room somewhere. And when the saints come to church, instead of hearing the prayers of the saints of the altar, they hear the gossipers that's left in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with going off by yourself in a prayer room. That's nice. But friend, when you come out of the prayer room, be sure you bring the power with you in the sanctuary. The problem is we go back and we get a lot of power, and then when we come in, we say, well, I don't want to disturb anybody with my form of worship. There's someone here from another denomination, and I don't want to disturb them. And all along they have heard that they shout in this church. They've heard that you sing and speak in tongues in this church. And then they come to see you do it, and you sit there like a bump on a log, and they'll get out and leave and say, this church is no different than any other church. But I am here to tell you tonight that this church is different from any other church. It's different from any other body. God's people get together and we worship in one mind and in one accord. And we shout and we dance and we don't hold it back. God's people are a hungry people. God's people are a people that reaches in the depths of the Spirit, and they want something from God. I said they want something from God. Used to be, when you had a revival that came from all over the place, within 100 miles radius, that come to a revival. But anymore, nobody wants to have fellowship unless it's in their ship. Oh, somebody's going to steal my sheep. They're going to take my sheep. I don't want to lose my sheep. What are you talking about? My sheep. Jesus said, if my sheep, which are called by my voice, give them some food and give them some fire. They're not going to be jumping over the fence and looking for a place underneath the fence to go through. If you've got to send over the people with a rod of iron, friend, they're not going to stay anyway. But I thank God for a church like the church is backing up this revival that's got enough word and got enough fire that they'll stay in because they want to. I thank God for a man like Brother Kiner that canceled his whole church services for 3 weeks so he could come and back up this revival. Listen, that's a group of people that's hungry for God. I said hungry for God. Oh, sometimes you might break the rules. Sometimes you might break the regulations. Sometimes you may not be so prim and proper. But man, that's the manners of a hungry man. Someone that'll dig in and get all that God's got to offer. Just stand and give the Lord a big hand tonight. Lift your hands toward heaven and love Him. You can come in and make fun if you want to, but one of these days you're going to be laying on the flat of your back. You're going to need God. You're going to want God. You're going to desire God. Lap on atheists. Lap on skeptics. But what we got tonight is real. I said it's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's a Pentecostal blessing. And I know it's real. We've got a God tonight that can take your every problem. He can eradicate it. You need a healing in your life, God can heal you. You need a touch from God, God can touch you. You need a move of God in your life, God can move you. If you're hungry for something, it's here tonight. It's here tonight. I was taken up in a vision, in a dream with the Lord. And in this visionary dream, I saw a great volcano. And I saw that volcano coming to the top, about ready to erupt. You know, a human being is an emotional creature. We were born emotional. You know, back before the day of Pentecost, they hunted deers and antelopes through the woods. They chased after their meals with bows and arrows and spears. They worked by the palms and the sweat of their hands and made fields and grew crops. And today, all you got to do to get your meal is go to Kroger's. And we are such a lazy nation that we don't even have to open the door. We step on a little black patio, it opens up for us. Now, that's lazy. You want a light, you don't have to rub two sticks together or light a match and light a candle. All you got to do is flip the switch and the light comes on. But God has given us emotions and aggression, and the aggression we used back in the old days to live and to survive with is still with us. That emotion, that aggression is still with us, and if you don't vent that emotion, it's going to come out in an ulcer. It's going to come out in mental illness. It's going to come out maybe in taking somebody's life. But God has made a way that we can come together and lift that emotion up in praise and honor and worship. And in this vision, I saw a big volcano that was about ready to erupt. And I saw hundreds and thousands of people standing before it with their arms outstretched. A little girl with needle tracks in her arms. And I said, Lord, who is this multitude? He says, this is suffering humanity. I'm sending you to help them. Listen, friends. I've been sent, Brother Kiner has been sent, and Brother Davis has been sent. And all of you ministers, the two evangelists that spoke so wonderfully tonight, you have been sent. But I want you to know that we have got to band together, because God showed me that that volcano that was about ready to explode was the emotion of humanity that they could no longer contain. It had reached the top. It had reached the very top and was about to run over and explode. The only thing that can save mankind is worshiping the Almighty God that they were created to worship. I said they were created to worship Him. We're hungry. The reason they go out and they cheer and they worship the football players with the pigskin under their arm is because they've got an emotion that they have to worship with. The only reason they go in the bars and dance and sing and worship rock singers is because there's a worshiping spirit in man. But friend, there's only one that this word tells me that we've got to worship, and His name is Jesus Christ. Let's just do that right now. If you're hungry for God, lift up your hands and worship Him. Lift up your hands and worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm hungry for the power of God. This altar's open right now if anybody happens to be hungry. If you happen to be hungry, don't worry about your etiquette. Don't worry about your manners, but come up and worship God. Come up and worship God. Oh, look at the people from all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I know it's real.
Well,
it's real.
Glory, glory. Come on, all the workers. Come on, all the workers.
Pentecostal blessing. I know it's
glory,
real.
Glory.
It's real.
Hallelujah.
I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real.
Well, it's real.
It's real.
Well,
I know it's
praise God.
Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real.
Well,
it's real. I know it's real.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Praise.
Praise God. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry for your presence. I'm hungry for your spirit.
It's real, it's real. I know it's real. Pentecostal blessing. I know, I know it's real.
It's real. I know. Hallelujah. I see some kind of a drug that you were on. And I saw that you lost it because of something that's inside of you. Amen. This is so. Amen. And I also see a lot of pain and suffering that you've been through. I see someone that has hurt you very deeply. You blamed her for the problems. You were hurt very cut into your heart. I also need that you need a healing in your body. There's something that's very unbalanced in your chemistry. You need a touch. I see spirits that bind you that you don't need to be bound by anymore. Lift up your hands right now. Thou foulest me. In the name of Jesus.